Today, I'm Jenna Barr. Welcome to the Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Please text in your questions this morning, 850-437-1620 to News Radio 92.3. Our text line and our phone line is open, so feel free to call 437-1620 and ask Mike Wiggins your questions this Tuesday morning. It is Election Day.
It's Election Day, and forgive me for about a minute and a half rant here on voting. I don't think our Garden Line listeners need to hear this, because I bet you every one of them have either voted or are going to vote today. But encourage your coworkers, encourage your family to, if they haven't voted or are kind of wavering, please get them to vote. It is so important, because we're going to elect elected officials who are going to make decisions that affect our very lives. So it is so important to elect the right people. I know everybody's done their research. You've heard all the ads and all that. Whoever you vote for, whatever, just go vote. And I do have to say this, John. This is important, because it's just, I want to say it, to thank David Stafford, our supervisor of elections. He has done an excellent job ensuring that our elections are run efficiently. And we need to be very proud of how our elections are run in Escambia County. He gave us all of many ways to vote. You could vote by mail, vote early, or vote today. But so today is here, so I hope everybody will go out and vote. I also want to thank two other people. One is David Stafford's staff. Now, back in my political days, I had a lot of interaction with David Stafford's staff. You talk about a bunch of helpful, informed, smart people that will answer every question you have, whether you're running for office or just a citizen. They are there for you. And they also help people register to vote. So if you've got, kind of like I do, some grandchildren approaching that age, let's get them over there and get them registered and get going. Last person to thank are the poll workers. Those ladies and gentlemen were up early this morning, are probably going to put in a 12 to 14 hour day. They could be there late tonight, but thanks to them. They do it as a public service, and I'm very, very proud of what they do. I know a lot of them, and I just am so proud of them for stepping up and serving their community like they do and helping people vote and express their political views. So that's my rant on voting. Garden Line listeners, thank you for listening to me. Like I say, I'm sure most of the listeners to my program have probably already voted or have plans to do it today. But pass the word to those who may be wavering. Oh, they may not have time. They may have something else to do. But let's get them to vote.
Yes,
it's important.
A beautiful privilege that we have here in America. That was a part of our prayer this morning with my kids, is that we would remember that we do have the not just the right, but the privilege to vote and express our opinions through our votes. And so make it count, make it important to you. It's a fun thing. I'm taking the kids later.
Well, I was going to say, Jenny, you and I have talked about this before, and I know you take your children to vote.
It's a very special thing.
They don't vote, but they watch you vote.
They watch.
And they learn a little bit about what democracy is all about.
Yeah, it's special, and I keep every election sticker.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think I've kept every single one since my first time voting when I was 18.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, I'm going to go get my sticker right after the show, and I like to vote in person, because I like to go. I like to go thank the poll workers, and these years, I know so many of them. It's
I
fun
love
to
voting
go vote.
On Election Day in person.
I do too.
It's very special, and it feels like, look what I just did.
And let me tell you one thing, as we morph into our Garden Line talk, you don't have to worry about the weather today insofar as voting. It is going to be one gorgeous day, and we are going to get into the 80s this week, but later on in the week, it looks like we're really going to get chilly with some nighttime temperatures in the 40s. I've always said,
I just saw that.
Yeah. What? Plants really don't like that. They don't like
I don't like
extreme.
It either.
Oh, I don't either.
Am I just a fancy plant?
You are.
With legs?
Exactly.
I don't know about fancy, but.
Well, I think you're fancy. But in any event, yeah, they don't like those extremes, going from real hot to real cold to real hot, real wet, real dry. They like to gradually go into winter, gradually go into spring. That always seems to be the best thing. I know you and I, walking into the studio today, noted out front, right by the front steps of 1620, Sasanquas, which they have some dwarf Sasanquas there, which are just gorgeous, beautiful foliage. But two out of probably 50 are starting to bloom. And they really, really are gorgeous. They're pink dwarf Sasanquas, and they are really good. And speaking of Sasanquas and camellias and that type of thing, Jenna, I had a nice talk the other day with Skip Vogelsang, our good friend.
Oh, yes.
And with Buzz Ritchie.
When are they coming to see us?
They're going to come probably at the end of the month. The Camellia Show is in December. Maybe the first week in December. So they're planning on coming. As they always do, they bring their camellias in here, and we have a nice chat. And, of course, they are always here because they're very, very good gardeners to answer any questions that our listeners might have via text or phone or what have you. So I look forward to that. So they are coming, and we'll be ready.
Yes, Christmas is fast approaching, so we are gearing up. Camellia Show means Christmas is right around the corner. Hey, let's take a quick break.
Let's do it.
850-437-1620. When we come back, we've got some hydrangea questions. These hydrangea leaves are really just giving people some trouble lately. I feel like that is a common question we are getting on the garden line lately.
Right.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about hydrangea leaves. Looks like we've got a couple of people with some problems going on. If you would like to text in your questions to Mike Wiggins here on the garden line, go ahead, 850-437-1620, or feel free to call.
I'm a soul man.
Good morning and welcome back to the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr, hanging out with Mike Wiggins and answering your calls, your texts here on the Garden Line. So we've got a text here, Mike.
Yes.
Let me see real quick from our friend Anne. My blue hydrangea leaves have a gray cast and the tips are brown. Other bushes have black spots on the leaves. How should I proceed, and when should I trim them?
That's a good question.
Black
That's
spots.
Very too. Good question. Hmm. And she may have two problems, because it may have been last week, Jenny, we talked about if you have a hydrangea leaf that's got tips browning out.
Yes.
Generally, because that's on the outer fringes of the leaf, that's environmental.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what the environmental problems have been with plants in the last month and a half is dry weather.
Yes.
So maybe that hydrangea has not quite gotten enough water. Now, the black spots on the internal section of the leaf probably mean it's a leaf spot fungus on the hydrangea. Now, keep in mind, that hydrangea is going to go dormant. It's going to go dormant as we get into the winter. So I don't think there's much that one can do, or it really doesn't make much difference insofar as the black spots. Insofar as the brown tips, there really is nothing you can do except keep watering. Because keep in mind, we're still going to be dry for a while here.
And warm for
a few
days.
And warm. So, yes, so be sure to go ahead and water them. Now, pruning those hydrangeas, keep in mind that hydrangeas bloom on that old wood, so you don't want to sit here in the winter and whack them way back.
Yeah.
Because that might affect the blooming next year. So just kind of cut right behind those old spent blooms.
Yes.
And otherwise, just keep it watered. Let's move into the winter. Let it go dormant. And I'll bet you anything it'll come back strong in the spring.
What happens if you don't trim back those old blooms and you just let them sit there? Will that stunt new growth or blooms?
No. No,
okay.
It will not. They will eventually fall off. It's just really from an aesthetic standpoint, it looks sitting there with those, you know, those old nasty blooms that have had their better day, you know, just clip right behind them and then just wait and let's see what next spring brings. I think you're going to be okay because both of your problems, the little leaf spot fungus and the dryness, both can be addressed. One, do nothing about the leaf spots, dryness. Get out there and water them.
Yeah, definitely have had to do a little extra watering lately.
Oh yes. And you know what? I saw, Jenna, that storm that's over off in, I guess, the northern Bahamas, mm-hmm. you know, kind of headed east, going to come
yes.
across Florida, maybe get into the Gulf. But then, supposedly, everything I read, it's going to take a hard right and head north, and we won't get a drop of rain.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're not going to have a tropical storm.
It's a little bizarre that it's this after the season. I can't even say late in the season. The season's over. We need to let the tropics know.
Well, the season, obviously, you know, years ago was extended into the end of November. But, my goodness, to have that thing out there, you know, and the question always is, okay, it's coming into the Gulf. When is it going to turn north? But I think it's going
to. What I'm hoping is that we start to see a cold front push further and further south.
I think that's what's going to move it north with that cold front coming in because we are going to be in the 40s at the end of the week, no doubt.
Well, we'll just continue to pray for everybody down south that we just get sprinkles, not torrential downpours,
I agree with you.
That is for sure.
I agree.
For me, as soon as the first cold front comes, I kind of just assume, all right, hurricane season, we're done. Keep moving.
Right.
Go
exactly.
on. Go away. Exactly. Thank you.
Exactly.
850-437-1620. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. If you'd like to text in or call, feel free. It's the Garden Line this Tuesday morning. Our friend Greg has a question. Why do some camellias start blooming now and some in February or March?
Well, it depends a lot on variety. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of varieties of camellias and sasanquas. Really, a sasanqua is just a kind of a, for lack of a better term, a miniature camellia. It's variety. It can also be location. You know, I think camellias do really great in like pine tree shade, filtered sun, that type of thing. Not necessarily full sun. But I think a lot of the environment will dictate when they bloom. It's like our sasanquas out we just talked about. It's kind of a surprise to me when I walked in here. I've got some sasanquas in containers that I enjoy because it gives me summer on my patio.
Yes.
Or it gives me blooms, if you will, in the winter. But they're not even close to blooming yet. So
your sasanquas are not.
No, they are not. And a lot of times I think it's care. I know we have a sprinkler system out front here. That helps. But if you are hand watering and maybe have not put a lot of water on them because of the dry weather, that could dictate when they're going to bloom. So I think sometimes with camellias, as with other plants, sometimes you know they're going to. So just kind of sit tight and wait and enjoy when they do.
Perfect.
That's Mother Nature. Can be unpredictable sometimes.
I like that we have different times of year to see the blooms, though.
Absolutely.
We always have something blooming in Florida. Like, you can't say that when you live up north, right?
Exactly. And, of course, the opposite is true, too, because I just was looking. My hibiscus are just blooming their hearts out right now. I've got a red one and a yellow one, and they just look terrific. Mandevilla's blooming. It's kind of getting a little ragged with all the heat, but it's blooming also. But what I'm waiting for is my crotons, which I always love to grow. When they lose that first leaf, when that first leaf falls off, and this is just anecdotal evidence on my part here, I know that it's just a matter of time for them to have all the leaves fall off, and I'll have to replace it. It's in too big a pot for me to move, and I've tried to cover it, and that really hadn't helped on a real cold night. So I enjoy it when I can, and then next spring, I'll just start all over.
Absolutely. From the beginning. I like it. Hey, we still have some questions coming in, but let's take another quick break. 9:25 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr hanging out with Mike Wiggins here to answer your questions on the Garden Line, 850-437. All right, it's time to hit our phone line here on the Garden Line.
Great music. Great. Louis Prima.
Louis Prima. Oh, hey, yeah, pasta meatballs.
Yeah, the newsroom's doing a little dancing over there, too. Go get them.
I thought it was fun. All right, let's hop on over to our phone line with Jim from Pensacola. What's your question for Mike?
Hey, say, Jim.
Good morning. Hurricane Ivan, when it came through, It seemed like it brought the chamber bitter with it, because I don't remember that ever occurring before that. But ever since then, it has been the bane of my landscape experience, and it doesn't seem to matter what I throw at it, other than just getting down on my hands and knees and pulling it. And I've listened to you before, and you recommend the pre-emergent starting in November. Is there anything stronger than atrazine that will take care of that?
I still think atrazine is one of the best pre-emergents. You might try some dimension. You might try some pendimethalin. Those are some other names of pre-emergents. The key, of course, Jim, is to put it on in a timely manner. Which you're absolutely right. Quite frankly, middle of November, with these cooler temperatures coming into the week, should be the perfect time to put that out. Tell you something else you need on that chamber bitter. You need a cold winter. It's an annual. It will, the cold will take care of not all of it, but some of it. And you couple that with the pre-emergence. To me, that's about the best one can do, because it is a pain in the neck. And Hurricane Ivan did bring in some odd stuff. We'll talk about that sometime.
All right. We've got more coming up here on the Garden Line. Jim, thanks for calling in. Best of luck to you. Keep us posted and keep those questions coming. 850-437-1620. You're listening to the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter, when the snow comes to cover the ground. It's time for play, it's a whipped cream day, I wait for it to hold you around. Those are marshmallow clouds being
friendly. All right, what do you think?
I love it, I love it. Very good, very good. That goes back to the 60s, maybe the 50s?
No. Probably late 50s.
Late 50s,
I will
maybe.
Say the late 50s.
Exactly. Cool.
It's a happy song. And you know what? We're not playing Christmas music yet.
No. No. What that is mainly is winter music. And it really ties in with the season we have here in Pensacola. I turned the page on my gardening calendar, if you will, and which has a bunch of checklists of things to do. And I've got I turn the page and it says checklist for winter, November, December, and January. So here we go. You ready?
Okay, ready.
Number one, it's time to buy tulips, daffodils, iris, hyacinths, ranunculus, crocus, all those bulbs that we all label fall bulbs that will come up in the spring. And keep in mind, if you can wait on buying many of them, but your tulips and your hyacinths, you need to go ahead and purchase and get them in the refrigerator for 6 weeks. Those will help promote blooms. But keep in mind, especially with tulips, as pretty as they are, they're not going to come back in the next year. So it's a one-time shot, but they are fun to plant. Just a couple of hints. If you go to a garden center and let's say you've got a bin of daffodil bulbs, the key is to buy the biggest bulb in the bin, because the bigger the bulb, the more blooms you're going to have, the more foliage you're going to have, and the more you're going to enjoy them. So that's really, really important. Also, when you plant them 2.5 times the diameter of the bulb. A tulip bulb is, of course, going to be smaller than a daffodil bulb. So figure the diameter, plant 2.5 times the that depth, and you'll do in good shape. When you're mixing your soil, of course, we always like to put a little organic material like Canadian sphagnum peat moss in the hole, but put you a little bit of bone meal in the hole. That's very good. These bulbs will thrive if you do that. Plant them in the sun. They'll do good. And the last thing about the daffodils, I think I mentioned this one time before, Jenna, but it's always fun to talk about. I'm not even sure who told me this. Daffodils look really good in a natural area. Say you've got a kind of a pine straw area on the perimeter of your yard, front yard, backyard, wherever, and you want to make it look natural. I had a customer one time, and forgive me if I'm repeating myself, who bought a bunch of daffodils and took a double handful of daffodils, threw them over his right shoulder, and wherever they landed, he planted them. He says, I want it to be natural.
Okay.
And believe it or not, it was. And it looked,
that'll do it.
It looked pretty good. But in any event, tulips, daffodils, iris, hyacinths, and your crocus and ranunculus are what a lot of people call your minor bulbs, but they're not that minor when they bloom. They're short, they're small, the bulbs are very small, but they really are colorful. And once again, it's one of those things, Jen, in the early spring, you may get some color that you might not otherwise get. So think about, as you turn that page into November, to purchase and get ready to plant those fall bulbs. And of course, as we get into November and December and January, it's time to plant your fall bedding plants, which are, the headline there is pansy plants, which of course are a staple all over the country. Mm-hmm. And you can buy different colors, you can buy solids, you can buy the ones with the little face. And a lot of the solid ones, yellow ones in particular, will take more sun than historically pansy plants would take. They thrive. They do very well in the sun. So check the tag when you buy them to see which are going to want filtered sun, which you're going to want to want, which will take full sun. But they can be absolutely gorgeous all winter long. In addition to your snapdragons, your calendulas. Some people call a calendula a pot marigold. It's a really yellow bloom, really kind of cool. Blooms later in the winter. And, of course, the dianthus is one of my favorites. Short plant. Oh, I like kind of the pink one. I think it looks really pretty. And they will last you through the winter. They will last you well into the summer. And if you keep them watered, take care of them, they could even take you into next fall. So don't discount the dianthus as your annual color for them as you turn that page into November. That's important.
Okay, very good. I do have a question coming in. It's 9:43. If you'd like to squeeze in your question this morning, 850-437-1620. Text it on in or feel free to call 437-1620 here on News Radio 92.3. You are listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you don't catch this episode today, you can catch the encore on Saturday morning at 9 here on News Radio 92.3 or catch the podcast anytime online at newsradio923.com or on our new mobile app. Just search News Radio Pensacola and download today in your app store. So, Mike, is there anything that we can do right now for spring prepping?
Absolutely. There's so much one can do. And you know, the one thing I always talk about this time of year is to plan. We've had the entire season, spring and summer. We've gone through it. We know what is successful. We know what has not been successful. And we can now plan a major redo of our landscape or just kind of tweak what we did last year if most of the things you did turned out very, very good. If you're going to have annual beds next spring, absolutely. Start planting. Put organic material like Canadian sphagnum peat moss, like mushroom compost, something like that. Get all the weeds out of them. Get them ready. Turn the soil. Be ready for that. For your vegetable garden, you may want to put some lime down. That would help. And addition, maybe just a little bit of light, low nitrogen fertilizer in with your soil. Turn it all over. get it ready to go. So there's so many things that we can do to get ready. I was going to talk later this morning if we have time. If not, I'll do it next week. Plan on roses. Now, I know we all have grown knockout roses. I have. I love them. They're just very easy. But you may want to go back to some of the traditional roses. And to do that, you can go to your local garden center for sure, or you can order by catalog. So many people order roses by catalog. And there are certain things, certain characteristics of those orders I'd like to go through in just a little bit.
Okay.
If you're going to transplant your shrubs, this is the time to do it when the weather's cool. So as you plan and have your new landscape designed and you're going to move some plants from point A to point B, the winter is the time to do that. So there are a lot of activities insofar as planning and getting ready. One last thing, limestone. Limestone, your St. Augustine grass, it's a great time to do it because you're not fertilizing now. We don't want to fertilize with nitrogen anymore this year. You can get your limestone out, which will help your St. Augustine next year come back and absorb all the nutrients that it needs. So yes, that's a great question. There's a lot to keep us busy this time of year.
Yes, we're not going to be slowing down anytime soon.
Not
here. 9:46. Let's take another quick break. We will chat more when we come back. Again, if you have a question, 850-437-1620. You can text into News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Welcome back. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your questions. We got a couple of pictures in this morning. First of all, I'm loving the Swedish ivy that's in full bloom for the butterflies. Love, love, love the seeing everybody's butterfly gardens.
Well, I've had a bunch of butterflies
tons
in the last
of
couple of weeks.
Yes.
Really kind of cool. Yeah.
I'm not complaining whatsoever. But we did have a picture come in identifying a weed picture. But
it's a bad actor, too. I'll tell you right now.
They're not good.
It's not
They're
good.
They're not fun.
And the name of it is very obvious when you look at the picture that was sent. It's called a rattlesnake weed because the root looks like the rattle on a snake. Florida betony is the other term for it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very, very difficult plant to control. And it's obvious why. Look at that root system on there because that rattle is really the root system to it. What you have to do is, one, you got some choices. One, you can pull it out. But if you dig it out, you've got to get down and get that whole root. You could snap it off at ground level, perfect, but it's just going to come back. So you can dig it out, and that's not easy to do. Use your pre-emergence, like we talked about, probably in the next week or so.
Okay.
That will help somewhat, not totally, but help somewhat. And then, depending on where it is, if it's in St. Augustine grass, for example,
right,
or centipede grass, you got to go back to our old rule, Jenna, of mowing high. Because sometimes if you mow it high in that St. Augustine, that will inhibit a lot of weeds because it literally shades them out.
Oh.
They want sun. So that might help you.
Shade them out.
Probably digging them may be the best solution, but boy, you've got to get it all. And you don't want to get out there and spend the day digging and have them jump right back up. But rattlesnake weed is a real problem. Now, one last thing. If it's in a flower bed, or in a natural area, you can always use a non-selective herbicide, one that kills everything. But you've got to be very, very careful with those. And like I always say, you've got to make your own decision whether you really want to use some of those chemicals or not. I mean, they're over the counter. You can buy them.
Yeah.
But still, I want you to be careful and make your decision, do some research before you pick one of those. So that's another option.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for texting in. We love seeing your pictures and hearing your voices. 850-437-1620 if you'd like to text in. Did you want to cover a little bit more about prepping, planning, lists? What did you want to cover next?
Oh, I'll tell you what. No, I wanted to jump back real quick to the bulbs, the daffodil bulbs. There's one name, and we've talked about this a lot on the Garden Line, but if you're going to plant daffodil bulbs, there's a yellow one. It's called Carlton. And it will, generally, all things considered, environmental-wise, come back every year in Pensacola. It's called Carlton. So when you go to your garden center, or if you order it online or what have you, get Carlton, and once again, buy the biggest one in the bin. That's really important.
Are those the ones you have to refrigerate or
no,
something?
No. Tulips and hyacinths.
Okay, just...
Those two.
Okay.
Just those two. Everything else you can plant...
Okay.
You know, in
sorry, yes.
December, January, whenever. Okay. I want to talk about a little bit about winter rye. Remember we had a call last week? Somebody wanted to know how much winter rye to put out in their yard?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think that stands repeating because a lot of people want to put that out. Here's what you don't put out if you're going to put out ryegrass. That's the pre-emergence herbicide that we've been talking about this morning. They don't like each other. You just don't do that because the pre-emergence, boy, it'll keep some of those weeds from coming up. You know what else it'll keep from coming up?
Mm-hmm.
You're right, ryegrass. So if you're going to put ryegrass in your yard, do not use the pre-emergence herbicide. That kind of goes without saying. I like to use the mathematics of about 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet. That's a lot. No. 40 pounds per 1,000 is my limestone recommendation.
Limestone.
No, let's say about 3 to 4 pounds per 1,000. That's probably a better way to put it out. But keep in mind, it's so important to keep it out of your flower bed because getting it out of there is almost impossible, and it looks horrible. Mm. It just makes things look unequal. So, yes, so ryegrass. I'd say probably as we get into the latter part of November would be a good time. If these temperatures get into our 40s and we start really cooling off, then you could go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Because it'll come up real easy. But there's one thing it needs, one thing it's got to have, water. Water every day for a while. And well, it'll jump up. It really will. So that's the other thing that you need.
Okay, excellent. On that note, let's take another quick break before we wrap things up this morning on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. We are wrapping up our time here on the Garden Line this beautiful Tuesday morning. Hope you are being safe on the roads today as everybody heads out and votes this election Tuesday. Mike, any closing thoughts?
Well, yes. As we get into the cooler months, and we're going to get there, it's just a matter of when, let's be sure to mulch our plants. I still like pine straw. I still think it's the best. It will inhibit a lot of the weeds coming up. It will keep the moisture in, which we need during the winter. And it's going to be very plentiful here very soon. So mulch your plants with pine straw. Plus, what else it does, Jenna, it really helps with the stormwater situation. In other words, if you've just got dirt around your plants, a good rain is going to wash that dirt into the gutters, and it's going to end up in the stormwater system and could eventually end up in the bayou or the bay, what have you. So mulching has many, many advantages. And you know what? It looks good. It just looks nice. And so I hope people will do that, no doubt. What we're going to do as we move forward in the winter, we do need to talk. We can't do it today, but talk about fruit trees and shade trees. We're going to get deep into the rose situation. We need to talk about that. And so many other things here on the Garden Line. But, of course, your questions mean everything to us. We really appreciate it. We've got some fabulous gardeners, some fabulous listeners out there, and we appreciate it, no doubt about it.
Excellent. Well, Mike, thank you so much, and thank you for tuning in this morning, 850-437-1620. Save it in your phones. Next week, you can text in all your questions to the Garden Line.
Two words, Go vote.
Go vote.
Go vote.
And if we missed your question this morning, don't worry. We promise to get to it next week here on The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Jenna Barr, and we've got more coming up here on the Pensacola Expert Panel.